Good evening. Welcome to our service tonight. Let's take our hymn books together, please. Number 526, and let's stand together as we sing. 526, bring them in from the fields of sand. 526. Tonight with the Benaway family, Marcia went home to be with the Lord about 4:30 this afternoon. And so before our service proceeds any further, we're going to take some time and pray for this family tonight, the Ronsons and the Benaways. I talked to Jason, and he's doing very well at this point. It's a relief, of course, to know that she's been relieved from her suffering, but he still had the unenviable task of having to talk to his children. And so be in prayer for them. He just finished with that and was headed over to make some arrangements at the funeral home. I talked to Gerald Ronson tonight, and Gerald, again, seems relieved and has a great outlook. He said, "I got to talk to Blair today. I sent a message ahead with Marcia." So, praise the Lord. And he says, "We can't even imagine what she's doing in heaven right now." So, it just hurts for this family, and so let's pray for them. And you know those kids are going to have a hard time with this, so let's remember them in prayer tonight. And so I'm going to ask a couple men if we'll pray, and then when we pray, we'll be seated and we'll proceed with our service tonight. All right, so let's go, Lord, in prayer. Mr. Kirkwood, would you lead us in prayer tonight? And then after you're finished, Mr. Wood, I saw Jim Wood around here, and would you pray for us tonight as well? Brother Kirkwood, you lead us.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us, and thank you that we can come and gather in your house here tonight. We ask, Lord, that you will be with Jason and the kids and just comfort them at this time. And may they know their mother is in heaven and they can look forward to seeing her again someday. We ask, Lord, that you will be with Gerald and Sandra as well and the brothers. And just give each one of them in that family a blessing from you and a comfort in their hearts to know that where she is and that she's all right. You'll be with us here tonight. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, again, we do thank you for this time that we can join together, Lord, as a family. Lord, would you pray that you be with Jason as he speaks to his children, Lord? Give the words that you have. Share with the Lord. Give them to the Lord. Beautiful family. Marcia's with you now, Lord. Pray that you be with the family. Take care of the Lord. Help us to be a hope to them, Lord, in these coming days, Lord. Just pray that you do the rest of the service, Lord. The speakers tonight, Lord, just want to present a question. In your name. Amen.
trying week so far for our missions conference, but I know the passing of Marcia really illustrates the importance of missions, isn't it? We have to tell others about Jesus Christ. I mean, praise God, we know where she is tonight. And we need to be able to remember that when we think about missions. Here's people going out and telling other people how they can one day meet Marcia Benaway. And it's through the gospel, through the preaching of that. So we have a good service for you tonight. If I have the ushers come forward at this time. We've got, again, Brother Merriwell, who did a great job preaching to us last night. He'll be preaching again tonight. And Brother Cook will be giving us his presentation, the ministry that he's going to, and he's going to Italy. And the best way I can remember that is my favorite food that I love to have cooked is Italian, so I can kind of remember things that way. So if the men would come forward at this time, and we can have, Brother Doug, if you'd pray for tonight's offering.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come here tonight and to do your word, to preach, to speak to our hearts, to bless you in every area of the service, with the missionaries, and thank you for them, that they might be blessed to us as well. We pray especially for the family of the family tonight. We pray that you might be there, and might they feel your presence.
That's good. Thank you, Glenn. I heard that song before, but that was a beautiful hymn. Let me apologize for the little video. We thought that would be a nice challenge. The last slide was edited and changed to a King James Bible verse, and somehow the video got mixed up. And we got the wrong video here tonight, so I apologize for that verse. We stand on the King James Bible here. And that was just a mistake and oversight. And I'm glad that when everybody looked at me angry, I thought, well, good, they know their Bible. They noticed. Praise the Lord. So that's a good thing. Well, but what a challenge. That is a good little challenge. Just to make us think, asking those questions, is our light shining for the Lord like it should be? Let's tear down our Bibles, or our hymn books tonight, please. Number 530, Work for the Night is Coming. Work for the Night is Coming. Sing it tonight. The choir is going to come and sing it this time.
Once.
once again and stand tonight as we sing 520, Have I Done My Best for Jesus? Number 520, let's stand tonight. The choir will join us in our seats tonight. 520. Before you come and sing for us tonight. So good to have our missionaries with us. We had a couple more join us tonight for their conference. I'm sorry. That's Ben and Andrea Ray. I'll have you folks stand tonight, missionaries to China. And we already support Eddie and Marta Ray. That's Brother Ben's parents. And then, of course, Andrea is Wayne Bodway's daughter, Pastor Bodway at Royal City Baptist Church in Guelph. And so both have grown up in the ministry and I believe are prepared to serve the Lord in China. So we're so thankful that they can join us tonight. They'll be presenting their ministry tomorrow evening. Brother Cook is our missionary this week to Italy. And we're so thankful that he is here. His wife could not make it with him. But we're going to ask him. I told you last night, I'm sorry, I told you that Mrs. Ray couldn't make it last night. But then she went out to her mailbox, and her papers were there. And they were able to turn around. He had to go back and pick her up and brought her with him. So we're so thankful she was able to come. So Brother Cook, you come tonight and share your burden for the people of Italy.
Appreciate it. Amen. Once again, my name is Brandon Cook. And men, if you could go ahead and take your places. And I've got these men, young men, handing out some prayer cards of mine. I sure do appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. Love volunteers, don't you? Amen. It's so quickly volunteered. But I'm a Brandon Cook, missionary to the people of Italy. And now that's my beautiful wife right there on the front, my bride of 3 years. And we have three children now. Two are on here. And the reason why she's back at home in Roxboro, North Carolina, is because our third son is not quite even 3 weeks old yet. And so please be praying for her as she's recovering. And that smiley guy right there, his name is Thomas. And he's named after his my grandfather, who played a vital role in me being saved 10 years ago. And I thank God for you grandparents who continue to pray for your children and your children's children also. Thank God for you who continue to pray for the impossible one. You see, I was one of those who was impossible. I was one of those who everybody knew that I wasn't saved, except for me. I thought I was good. I thought I was good enough. I was raised in church, and I thought I was going to heaven. Because I just repeated a prayer one day. But there was no true repentance, and I did not have salvation, as everyone needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Thank God, as you'll hear in my testimony here in just a few minutes, of how God's changed my life. But I thank God for praying grandparents, and thank God for that great salvation that God's given me. The little guy right there, the little baby, is not a little baby anymore. He's one and a half, and his name is Titus Adoniram Judson Cook. Anybody know who Adoniram Judson is? Yeah? Amen. My wife would not let me name him Adoniram Judson, so we had to stick Titus in there. So, amen. So I appreciate you praying for these guys. The youngest one is Elisha Nathaniel Cook, so please do pray for him also, and he's growing up big and fast. We're called to the right there on the back of the card there, that country that looks like a boot right there, to the very center of the country, to Terni, Italy. That's an hour and a half north of Rome and the Vatican City, right in the heart of it all, very close to where 1 billion people turn to, and they look at it as a sort of a Mecca. The center of their religion, instead of Jesus Christ being the center of their religion, who they desperately need. They need a relationship with Him. They don't need a membership in a church. But I thank God for each of you who understand that being a member here at Bethel doesn't save you. It's knowing Jesus Christ. And I thank God that you are here. Please continue to pray for us. Now, there are 61 million souls that we have a great desire to reach. I'm praying for 12,128 church planting families to come help us. Now, I may be in one church for the rest of my life. I'm not sure, but I'd love, and I'm praying for the need that's there. I might be just play a small role in it, but I'm praying for over 6,000 churches to be planted in Italy. And I pray, if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, that I pray that it does happen, that the truth would come to Italy. So we thank you so much. Now, we're at 79% support. We're leaving out in April, the last week of April. So please pray for us, as that's coming up very soon. And we thank you very much. Now, I asked the young people yesterday, how many of you like to color? But I want to ask you, how many of you like to color? Anybody like to color? You got a few crayons, big guy back there. You got good. Amen. Some of you, how many of you know somebody who likes to color? Anybody? If you know somebody who likes to color, we've got a coloring sheet out front there. It'll teach you how to pray for the Cook family, remind you who we are, all of our names and everything. We'll also teach you how to speak some Italian. Ciao, mi chiamo. I would say Mr. Cook. And some of the young folks today learn how to say that. Amen. They know Italian. And they all promise that they're coming over to Italy with me. Amen. No, maybe not. They didn't promise. No. But anyways, also, you know, I'm only here for one, not even really a week, until Sunday. And I'd like to remain in your heart. And I'd also like for you to remain in my heart. And one of the best ways to do that is to keep in contact with each other. How many of you have an email address? Anybody have an email address in here? Raise your hand up in there. That's all? Everybody? All right. Oh, quite a few of you do. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. We've got a guest book out front over there on our table, and some others do also. I believe the Ortiz do, and some other people. Do you have them, Brother Ray? Anyways, if there's a sign-up sheet on the missionaries' table, please do sign it up. And we'd love to know how we can pray for you. And so please do tell us how we can pray for you, how we can pray for the church, how we can pray for the pastor, things that are going on in the church. Please email us, let us know. We'd also love to send you a prayer letter about what God is doing to the Cook family in Italy. We do thank you very much for your prayers and covet them very much. At this time, we'll show the video. I believe we have it booted up. And please take very close notice to some certain things in it. Thank you very much. Imagine if you were born among people where the truth of the Word of God was a foreign idea. A false religion has become your culture that is woven into every aspect of life. As a child, you were told the Bible was not your final authority of faith and practice, but a religious leader instead tells you how you should work your way to heaven. Truth is believed to be what the religious leader said, and not what the Bible says. The only doctrines you know are the commandments of men. This describes a variety of different countries across the world. We are going to one of those countries. We are the Cook family, missionaries to the people of Italy.
We are sent out of the Five Forks Baptist Church of Cedar Grove, North Carolina, with Macedonia World Baptist Missions coming alongside our sending church with assistance. My wife and I were married on June 26, 2010. We know that God has called us to reach the Italian-speaking people of Italy. It is our desire to teach Italians to reach Italians and the rest of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are going that they may be born again and give glory to God. I was 24 years old in 2003 when I called upon the name of the Lord, confessing that I was a sinner. I had bowed on my knees and begged God to forgive me of my sins and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. For the first time, I truly believed Jesus was the Son of God, risen from the dead. 1 month after I was born again, I surrendered to God's call on my life to be a preacher, and God began to burden my heart for missions. And it was during my junior year at Crown College that I answered God's call to be a missionary to Italy. The Lord enabled me to graduate with a bachelor's degree in pastoral ministry and a master's degree in missiology at Crown College of the Bible in Powell, Tennessee.
I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior in September of 2002. Later, God called me to attend Crown College of the Bible, where I studied music ministry and Christian education. I surrendered to God's call on my life to be a missionary in 2008, and I thank God that 1 year later, He brought my future husband into my life. Brandon had answered God's call to preach and to be a missionary. We are eager to see God work among the people of Italy, where He has called us to serve.
The Lord has allowed Italy to be home to approximately 58 million souls. The majority of families claim to believe in Romanism, in other words, Catholicism. Italy is a southern European country that stretches out from the Mediterranean Sea. It is roughly the size of Virginia and the Carolinas combined. In Italy, every road leads to a soul, from the high peaks of the Alps in the north to the southern tip of Italy. They are all longing to have peace with God. The Apennine Mountains cascade through the Midlands as the backbone of Italy. There in the valley is where our home will be, in Terni. It is there where we will assist veteran missionary couple Keith and Linda Bloyd and the church they have planted, the only independent Baptist church in Terni. Our plans are to evangelize the lost with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, disciple new believers with the truth of the Word of God, and train them to reach their neighbors with the gospel, train Italians to reach Italians. We desire to strengthen the churches that remain in Italy and move forward in planting new churches. We have divided Italy into 9 different regions by population, and we are praying for new missionaries to come and assist us in planting new churches in the regions that do not have an independent Baptist church. Our future home in Terni is 15 miles from the geographic center of Italy. When most people think of Italy, they envision the country that looks like a boot. Every time you see Italy, look toward the very center and remember the Cook family, and please pray for us. Let's say your town has 100,000 people among a world of 7 billion people. This means that there are 6,999,900,000 strangers to the people of your town. God has recorded in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 the last words of Jesus Christ while He was on this earth. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God has commissioned us all to reach our Jerusalem, the town you call home. My wife and I have been called to Terni, Italy, a town of 105,000 people, with only one independent Baptist church giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is feasible for the church in Terni to get the gospel to every home in the city in 2.5 years. But God has also commissioned us to reach the nearly 6,999,900,000 strangers of the world. How are we going to do that? How are you going to do that? We desire to teach Italians to reach Italians and the rest of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Italy is filled with people, both native and foreign, that are seeking in vain for hope, a hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Like in America, millions of international people pour into Italy to live a better life than the one from which they came. The Italian language will be the common link between us and the people in Italy. We pray that God is now sending people to Italy that we will soon meet, people that we might evangelize, disciple, and encourage them to return to their home country, that they too might fulfill the Great Commission.
Lodate il Signore.
Béni soit son nom.
称颂他的圣名。
Hallo ist der Neck.
Gloria a Deus.
Preise sein heiligen Namen.
Heilige Wadze.
Misgana l'exaverihun.
Ahmedet Yarab.
주님께 영광을.
For centuries, Rome has had a long history of persecuting true Christians. But recently, God has opened a door of opportunity where missionaries are allowed into Italy. For now, the door is open, and we will enter in praising the Lord.
Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold, I will give the Lord control, I will tell them of the crimson flow.
As we pray and give the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are reminded why we are going and what Jesus said to Paul in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Join us in seeking God on behalf of the Italian-speaking people, that God would be glorified through the salvation of lost souls in Italy.
Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold, I will give the Lord control, I will tell them of the crimson flow.
Charge me with his blood, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. But with a second look he said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for your ransom paid. I died that you might live. Forever etched upon my mind is the look of him who died. The Lamb I crucified. And now my life will sing the praise of pure atoning grace that looked on me and gladly took my place.
Amen.
his death my sin displays for all the world to view. Such is the mystery of grace, it seals my pardon too. With pleasing grief and mournful joy my spirit now is filled, that I should such a life destroy, yet live by him I kill. Forever etched upon my mind is the look of him who died, the Lamb I crucified. And now my life will sing the praise of pure atoning grace that looked on me and gladly took my place. Forever upon my mind is the look of him who died, the Lamb I crucified. And now my life will sing the praise of pure atoning grace that looked on me and gladly took my place.
Thank you. Amen. Our keynote speaker this week is Brother Brent Marowelli from First Bible International. We're thankful that he's able to join us. Sunday morning, he'll be presenting his ministry to us, and what God has laid upon his heart to do with the rest of his life, I believe. And so he's going to come tonight and preach to us. Let's have our Bibles open and give him your attention tonight, and I'm sure that you'll receive a blessing from the Lord.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings and chapter number 17, please. 1 Kings... Actually, let's go to chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. If the Lord leads, we'll go to 1 Kings chapter 17 tomorrow night. What a time that we have been having. We are thrilled to be here. Pastor has been a wonderful host. We've really enjoyed our time with him. And looking forward to the remainder of this week. Be praying much for Preacher and all the details. I'm sure he had to just go take care of the arrangements, time-wise and so on, for the service, and so be praying for wisdom in regards to that. And I certainly hope next time that we come through, my wife is able to be here so that you can meet her. I really do. Her name is Shelley, and you will just be thrilled to get the opportunity to meet her. Until then, I hope that you'll pray for her and her physical condition with her heart condition, but God is doing great things in her life, and we're very, very grateful for how well that she is doing. I didn't mention to you last night, we have one child, his name is Jordan, and he is 23 years old. He just got married last year. His wife's name is Becky, and we do not have any grandkids yet. Just a couple of grand dogs. He's got a 9-month-old, 90-pound Doberman Pinscher and a 5-week-old Shih Tzu. I don't even know what they're thinking. I don't have any idea. But we're looking forward to the grandkid days, I'm sure. And they're not looking forward to it quite as much as we are. We waited 14 years. The Lord allowed us to wait that long for him. We didn't plan that, but God planned that. And so we did not set a good precedence for the grandkid thing by any means. But we're looking forward to the Lord's timing in that for sure. Because all of you grandmas and grandpas tell us how great those grandkids are. So we can't wait for that to happen. Did you enjoy that presentation tonight to Italy? Makes you want to go. Put your foot in that boot. Amen. And be a part of that. You can go. You might not be able to go physically, but you can certainly go prayerfully. And I hope that you'll do that. Mexico City, Italy, tomorrow night, China. Wow, what a great conference. I hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. We're having a time. Heavenly Father, please, in Jesus' name, we need you to meet with us as we open your precious word. We are so blessed to have it. We're so grateful that we can turn in its pages, and we can read and understand what it says in our own heart language. And we can hide your words in our heart that we may not sin against you. And we can share your word with whosoever will. Father, I pray tonight that this church would be able to see the importance that if we're ever going to be able to reach a world, we have to be willing to reach our home. If we're ever going to reach the uttermost, we have to be willing to reach our Jerusalem. And so I pray you'll help us to see that clearly from the scriptures tonight. Lord of the harvest, we would ask that you would send forth laborers into your field of service, even from this local church, even tonight. Lord, maybe somebody tonight would step out of their seat like I can so vividly remember 40 years ago. Say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but I know you want me. I'm willing to go and do whatever you want me to go, wherever you want me to go, and whatever you want me to do. Father, somebody, I pray they'll surrender tonight. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't have a Bible reason to know that heaven is their home. I pray tonight they'll settle that issue. Please, we'll give you glory and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. Follow along with me, please, starting in verse number 17. Notice the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I've not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, put no fire under it. And I'll dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It's well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. Call on the name of your little g gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal, from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god, either is talking, or he is pursuing, or is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water. Water? Perhaps one of the most valuable commodities of that time. They're in a major drought, yes? Elijah's about to make himself to Mount Carmel, where he's about to call the man to look into the sky and see if he sees any sign of rain. And he's about to see a cloud the size of a man's hand, knowing that rain's coming, but that's not now. Now water, people will pay a premium price for water right now. And Elijah says, take 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, would you read the rest of verse 39 out loud with me, please? The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Elijah had one motive. Elijah had one goal in mind at this particular time in his life. There's so much that Elijah could have done and could have accomplished in this amazing battle with the prophets of Baal. But he went past all of those possibilities and had one motive, and that motive was this: to prove that the Lord, he is the God. That's all he wanted to do. I have a very close missionary friend of mine by the name of Bob Hayton. He's a missionary in Zambia. Bob Hayton sent a letter back when I was pastoring. I pastored for 25 years in Michigan. And back when I was pastoring, Brother Hayton sent me this letter. And at the very end of the letter, he signed it with this statement. And this statement gripped me so much that I actually cut it out. And I've carried it with me for years. The statement is simply this: I can prove that God loves me. Could you? Elijah says, I'm going to prove to you, prophets of Baal, that the Lord, he is the God. Don't we have that responsibility? Congregation, don't we have the same responsibility to prove to individuals that we have influence over that the Lord, he is the God? Don't we as a church have the responsibility to prove to all of those that come in underneath this roof and listen to the preaching from this pulpit, to prove to them that the Lord, he is the God? It's a responsibility. We at First Bible International have a desire to prove to a world that the Lord, he is the God. Why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that little g God that the prophets of Baal are referring to here hath blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ should shine unto them. That's why we have to prove it, because Satan has very effectively kept the word of God away from half of our world, so they don't have the light of the word of God shining unto them to prove that the Lord, he is the God. You see, everywhere that we go, it doesn't matter where that it is, you'll find people that will worship a God. Because Romans clearly tells us that there's that empty spot in every one of us that can only be filled by Almighty God himself that we talked about last night. Once they meet the one God that's sufficient to meet their every need, then they can know that the Lord, he is the God. But until then, they believe that their God, whatever that might be, is what's going to take care of their entire destiny. Based on what truth? None. Based on what authority? None. How did Elijah prove that the Lord, he is the God? By a pretty amazing feat, amen? By allowing God to do something that only God could do. Don't you like those things in the Bible? Don't you like those things when you read that, you look at it and you go, really? That's not even possible. That's when God loves to show up on the scene. When there's no way you can explain that. That's when God loves to show up on the scene. And Elijah says, okay, we're going to do battle. And I'm going to prove to you that the Lord, he is the God. Not Allah, not Buddha, not Confucius, not the Koran, Africa, not your Shango God, the spirit of thunder, or all 192 other gods that you worship. Chinese, not your monkey God that was birthed from a pregnant rock. Not that God or your 152 other gods that you worship. You in Egypt, not your Anubis God, the God of mummy wrappings. Not that God or your 172 other gods that you worship. Finish, not your Thani God. That's the God of the underworld that welcomes you when you go into the ground with frogs and worms. That's an exciting God to worship. Not that God. Not your Japanese God, Akuma the fire dragon. Not Maya, your God, Ex-Balanikoye, the ball game hero God. Not the Slavic God, Chernobog. That's the black God of evil in swearing. I call that the Hollywood God, personally. And not the saint's God. That's Saint Judas Iscariot, the saint of betrayal, and all 576 other gods that you worship. No, Elijah says, I'm going to prove to you that the Lord, the monotheistic one God, is the Lord, the God. Elijah says, I want to prove that. By the way, should we not prove that also? Every time we come into a church service, makes me kind of wonder. When a visitor walks into one of our church services today, they establish themselves in their seats, and the song leader stands up and says, take your Bible or take your song books and turn to page number, and you start to sing, and immediately this lost person is trying to see whether or not the Lord is really the God based on the way that we sing the hymns. I wonder how effective we are. Because he's basing it on the rock concert that he was in the night before. And he saw their participation. And he saw the way that they were willing to throw themselves at the altar of those wicked entertainers. And yet some of us won't even crack a noise to worship our God when we sing our hymns. I wonder if that visitor, when they walk in and we have the goal of proving to them that the Lord, he is the God, if they're going to be proven that is the case by our participation in the service. Well, of course, he's basing that on the hockey game that he was at the night before and watching the 30,000 people in that arena and the way they participated in that hockey game. I wonder. If we're doing very well at proving to a lost world when they come into our services by the way that we testify. You know, when a preacher says, I wonder if anybody might have a testimony. Let's just take a few minutes. Preachers do that all the time, right? Let's just take a few moments and give God glory. Give God testimony for something. Who will be first? Mind you, there's a lost person sitting out there and they're just waiting to see if the Lord is really the God here. And that preacher has that most uncomfortable moment that any preacher ever has. He stands here like this. All of you are looking at him and he's looking at all of you and nobody is standing up. Seriously? Really? The preacher says, who will be first to give a testimony for the Lord about how good that he is? But for some reason, we have got to that place in our life where it has to be some out-of-body experience or it's not good enough to give testimony about, because we really want all the glory. The glory is not going to him. I can think of a pretty good out-of-body experience right now. What are you doing right now? You're looking at me. Quite a miracle that you can see. When's the last time you thanked God for your eyesight? Can you hear me? When's the last time you thanked God that you can hear? I had a wonderful meal tonight with the Aspies, and I thought, man, it's great to taste food. How do we prove to a lost world that the Lord, He is the God? Based upon our responsibility and the way that we did that. Elijah says, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it, number one, by a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is going to be a bullock. A bullock. The reason Elijah says, bring me the bullock, is because Elijah says, I want you to give me your best. The bullock was the best of the agricultural uses of the day. A good bullock would do twice the work of two ox. And Elijah says, don't bring me your leftover time. Elijah says, don't bring me your spare change. Don't bring me your old used equipment after you've used it all and then donate it to the church. Don't bring me all of that tired old bodies after you spent all week serving the false gods that you might be serving, and you stayed up late on Saturday night, and now you're whooped on Sunday, and you have nothing left in you. Don't bring me that body. Don't bring me that leftover idol worship. He says, bring me your best when you come to the house of God to worship. Bring me the bullock. Elijah says, I'm going to prove to you that the Lord, He is the God, by the bullock. The very best sacrifice is going to be made. And by the way, do you know that any time that there is a sacrifice, something has to die? I said something has to die. It's kind of easy to give up those things that we can just easily give up. But what about those things that something has to die? That personal desire, that personal want, that comfort zone, that particular account in the bank, that particular physical ability. Something has to die if there's going to be a sacrifice well acceptable unto God. And Elijah says, bring me the bullock. I'm going to prove to you that the Lord, He is the God, by the sacrifice. And then he says, I'm going to prove to you that the Lord, He is the God, by the structure. By the structure. I wish I had the time, but I don't tonight. When the prophets of Baal were trying to prove that their God was the God, they leaped on the altar. They cut themselves. They destroyed the altar that they were using for the sacrifice. And the Bible says in verse number 30, before Elijah started his process of proving that the Lord, He is the God, verse 30 says, he repaired the altar. You know what he did, church? He repaired the structure. The structure. And you know what the devil has done today? He's effectively destroyed the structure of the God-given authority of the family. The family. I said, Mom and Dad. That was Mom and what? What? This isn't a trick question. Mom and what? Dad. That is the biblical family structure. Mom and Dad. Boy and girl. Son and daughter. Children. Grandchildren. Great-great-grandchildren, nephews and nieces and cousins and grandmas and grandpas and great-grandma and great-grandpa. That is the family structure in the Word of God. And all God's people said, I have a simple question for you. How do you get that family structure with mom and mom? How do you get that family structure with dad and dad? You know. And the devil knows I might not be able to do it here. I might not be able to destroy it right here. But I can destroy it right there. He knows if he can take the authority of the family out of the picture, he's won a big victory. He's destroyed the structure of the family. He's destroyed the structure of the God-ordained institution of government. God help us, I don't even have time. What a mess. Hello? What a mess. Our government is, and your government is. Don't take offense to it, but it's a mess. God ordained it, and no matter how much of a mess it is, we still have the responsibility to pray for those who are in authority. We still have the responsibility to pray for those who are in leadership positions, and I hope that you do. He's destroyed the family, he's destroyed the government, and he's destroyed the structure of the independent, fundamental Baptist church. He's destroyed it. You travel this countryside, and you see buildings that you have no idea that they're a church because they say something like Cornerstone. Cornerstone what? Crosspoint. Crosspoint what? It's just a building out in the middle of a field. You have no idea that it's a church because it doesn't even say church. Heavens, don't say church anymore. It's too offensive to people. You're turning people away. Definitely take the word Baptist off. I mean, that's really old school, right? I am personally in love with Bethel Baptist Church. I like Baptist. I'm Baptist by conviction. I like that priesthood of the believer thing. I like that blood atonement thing. I like that two officers thing of pastor and church. I like pastor, baptized, saved church members tithing into the local New Testament, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. I'm so Baptist in my stand. Brother Cook, you do this too. We schedule meetings all the time, right? And you have to write out the church where you've got the meeting scheduled, right? I have my planner. I put everything. I happen to have a BlackBerry. I thought that was going to help me. It's a Canadian business. I thought it was going to help me raise support in Canada. It's not helping me a bit. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through my term. But anyway, whenever I put my meetings in my phone, you know, it's a process that you have to go through to do that, right? I can't even write BETHELBAPT. That'd be easy. That's Baptist, right? I got to put BAPTISTCHURCH. I'm not abbreviating it. I can't even do that. I don't want an abbreviated church. That's what the world is doing out there. They're abbreviating everything about it. You know what they've done? They did the same thing the prophets of Baal did. They tore down the structure. Elijah says, I'm going to prove to you that the Lord, he is the God, but before I can do it, I got to rebuild the structure. Church, don't let it happen here. Don't let him tear down your structure. You've got an amazing structure. You still have Bethel Baptist Church out there on the sign. You still have a pastor that preaches from the right Bible. You still sing the good hymns of the faith. You're still involved in worldwide missions. You got a solid foundational Baptist church here. Don't let it get destroyed. Glory to God. Be thankful for what God has given to you. The prophets of Baal want to destroy it, I promise you. But your motto, your goal in keeping it as strong as it is to prove to them, verse number 39, that the Lord, he is the God. There's a sacrifice. He said, bring me your bullock, the best. There's a structure. He said, I have to repair that first, and then there's a sincerity. A sincerity. What's the sincerity? It's a 63-word prayer starting in verse number 36. I would like you to look at it, please. Follow along as I read. Verse 36. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Got the person right. Let it be known this day that thou art God. Got the authority right. And that I am thy servant. Got the position right. And that I have done all these things at thy word. Got that authority right. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. Question. Where did Elijah ask for that? Where in that 63-word prayer do you see Elijah asking for fire? It's not there. Where do you see when Elijah built the structure that he put fire under it? It's not there either. Because Elijah was not interested in manufacturing some type of a big show. He wasn't interested in glamour. Elijah had one goal in mind and one goal only, and that was to prove to the prophets of Baal that the Lord, He is the God. And we have a world, 3.2 billion people, over 6,000 people groups, that has never one time read one word from a Bible in their heart language. And as long as God will give my wife and I the ability and the strength and the places to go, we want to spend the rest of our life getting to as many of those places and preaching to as many of those people as we possibly can to engage them to help us get a Bible into their heart language to prove to them that it's not Allah, it's not Buddha, but the Lord. He is the God. Will you help us get it done? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, please, that you'll help this church, this congregation, as they focus on this missions conference that has a world view of missions, to open their eyes brighter, broaden their scope a little bit further, to reach into a world that's never been touched before with the gospel. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. When's the last time that you sacrificed something to prove that the Lord, He is the God, according to what we've said tonight? That is, you gave your best. Something had to die. Can you look back at that grave? Can you look back at that marker stone and see that sacrifice that was made? Is it still dead? Is it still dead, or have you resurrected it? Have you brought it back? Satan's using it. You're not as effective as you once were because of it. Tonight would be a good night to Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, offer that sacrifice, a living sacrifice. How's your structure? How's your home? The devil's destroying it. He's taking prayer out of the homes. I could give you statistics that would blow your mind about how mom and dads never pray together anymore. Bible is not read in the home, it's family altar anymore. Families never spend time around the dinner table together as a family anymore. Everything is too busy. He's destroying the structure of the family. Maybe tonight you'd be willing to make that afresh and anew at this altar and say, oh God, please help my family not to be destroyed. Help us to return to those old paths of reading the Bible and praying together and family dinners and going to church together as a family and proving to those under our influence that you are the Lord, the God. The only way, church, that Elijah could accomplish what he accomplished is because his sincerity was right. He had no false motives, no hidden agenda, nothing but one goal, and that was to prove that the Lord, he is the God. Maybe tonight you'd want to come. Say, Father, would you help me to do that? Would you help me to prove to somebody by the way I live, by the way I talk, by the places I go, by the places I stay away from, by the surrendering of my life that I make, that you are the Lord, the God. Heavenly Father, please. As we stand around this building, please, and the instrument begins to play. Right now, please, as we stand and the instruments begin to play. If you'd like to come to this altar right now, would you come right now? Right now. Right now. Come on. I need to make some decisions tonight. Some things have been torn down. Some structures have been broken. Sincerity is not right. I need to pray more for an unreached world that's never heard one time that God loves them. I want to pray more. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that would come and say, I don't know what, I don't know where, and I don't know how, but I know God's calling me. Would you come tonight? Pastor will be right here. You can take his hand and say, preacher, I don't know what it is or where it is or how it is, but I know God's calling me, and I'm just making myself available for wherever it is, whatever it is, and however he wants to do it. I'm making myself available right now. Young person, older person alike, is God calling you right now? Would you come and surrender that tonight?
Message tonight, and I hope that it helped you, and I hope that it'll come back tomorrow night. We're looking forward to a great night in the house of the Lord. Tomorrow night, the Rays will be presenting their ministry. Brother Merrill Welly will be preaching again. We're looking forward to a great night in the house of the Lord. I apologize. Last night I slipped out to the hospital. Tonight I slipped out because the funeral home wanted to make arrangements with me, and I had to put them off till at least 7:30. We do have the arrangements ready for you, and so I'm going to ask you to please pass the word. They were too late to make tomorrow's paper, and there is no paper because of the holiday weekend, so we need to get the word out. The visitation will be at Baldock Funeral Home on Sunday from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. And Jason has done his best to respect our services, and I appreciate that, but from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon at Baldock's Funeral Home here in town, and the funeral will be 11 a.m. on Monday here at the church. All right, so Monday here at the church at 11 a.m. And there, of course, ladies that are involved in the luncheon, you'll be getting a call very soon about helping with that. We appreciate everybody that pitches in on these times. And so please help with that. And so that's Monday at 11 o'clock here at the church for the funeral services for Marcia Benaway. All right, let's stand tonight. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. God bless you. Stay in fellowship as long as you like. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask the blessing. Brother Phil Weidrich, would you lead us in prayer, please?
For the message that we heard tonight, Lord, I pray that you please help us as we travel home, give us safety, and Lord, help us to honor the things that we have learned that so, Lord, we can apply them to our lives. Lord, we ask that you dismiss us with your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Lord. Dismiss.